Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
But first, vaccine uptake is generally very high in Ireland, but vaccine denial, hesitancy and lethargy persist as issues to be confronted. Dermot Cox, Associate Professor in Pharmacy and Biomolecular Sciences at the Royal College of Surgeons, has been writing about these issues for the journal.ie and he joins me now. Good afternoon, Dermot. How are you today? We are pretty much, though, the gold standard students in the OECD. We're the fastest rate of vaccination I saw in the OECD at the moment.
Yeah, when you think about the US rolled out the vaccine about 4 months ago, they started, and we were concerned we were way behind. Yet we're over 60% and they're only at 60%. So they've peaked and high level of resistance.
So we have to give ourselves a small clap on the back for
Absolutely.
That, because we've embraced this well and we've applied it well. We've got it out to large numbers. So let's just clap ourselves in the back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But are we likely to run into, because they seem to run into an issue with vaccine denial very early. Are we likely to run into one?
Yes. Whether it's going to be a problem, though, is the other question. So it depends on the percentage. If there's only a small percentage of people who aren't taking up the vaccine, then it's not a problem. And probably for Ireland, that will be the case.
Okay. Do we have a figure on that percentage?
I don't think so.
We don't.
I don't believe we have any estimates.
Right. So we don't know. So we may be okay. But what are the possibilities that we won't? That the people who are, for all different reasons, not interested in the vaccine might cause us trouble?
Well, when we talk about trouble, there's two kinds. There's trouble for us as a society because you have a pool of virus replicating within non-vaccinated people. But then there's also the risk to the individuals themselves. Remember, only non-vaccinated people will die of COVID-19. Vaccinated people will not. So people who aren't vaccinated...
It's as clear-cut as that, is it?
Pretty much with all the vaccines, even with the Delta variant, and there's concerns about how well the vaccine works, people may still get mild sickness or that. Or they may even end up, more seriously ill, but the death rate is almost zero.
Okay.
If you're vaccinated.
Right. As a double vaccinated man, this is music to my ears.
Yeah.
Delighted to hear it. So those who are being slow about getting it, there are all different reasons. Well, there's four different groups, isn't there, really, of people who are slow to get the vaccine?
Yeah. So I would argue that you have these who are vaccine deniers and they don't believe in vaccination. And this probably applies to other vaccines as well. It's not just specifically to COVID-19. They won't take the measles vaccine or any of these. And that's usually for religious or political reasons that is where they come from. There's quite a few vaccine hesitants, and surprisingly, you see a lot of them in the medical profession who are reluctant to take it because they're unsure about the safety and the evidence to support the vaccine. So they're not against it, but they would like more information.
Right.
They'd like to be convinced that it's safe and effective. And then there's what I call vaccine lethargy. This tends to be common within the younger people who sort of say, well, the death rate is down and look, I'm young and healthy and I'm not really going to get very sick. And so they're not against it. They just, why bother?
Okay. And there's a fourth group, just people who are just, is there a fourth group? Oh, there are people who are just reluctant to take AstraZeneca in particular.
Well, that's the vaccine hesitance because they're looking at, they were concerned with the Pfizer one because it was a new technology and never been tested in humans.
Yeah.
And then they were concerned with the AstraZeneca because of thrombosis. But in their case, they're all just concerned about the safety.
Okay.
And it's science-based. They will look at the science ultimately that will swing them to taking the vaccine.
So the risk is that if there were enough of them, and the virus can stay. That's the risk, isn't it? That the virus stays. It might be not of the numbers that we have at the moment, but it's still out there.
Yeah. And what we've seen with the Delta variant, the more the virus circulates in a population of unvaccinated people, the more likely you will get new variants arising. And those new variants could, in the long term, become threatening.
Right. They could be variants that are immune to the vaccine.
Yes. And we're already seeing that Pfizer are saying maybe we need a third dose of the Pfizer vaccine after 6 months. And if you had some new variants, we could end up sort of saying we need one every year.
Right.
We need a variant of the vaccine every year rather than being able to eliminate the disease entirely.
Okay, I'll be happy to take anything. Yeah. I have to say every year for the rest of my life, as long as some sort of normality can return, I would say. There are three kind of different groups of people. So how do you go about dealing with each of them? I mean, the vaccine deniers, for the first, and you said some of them can be religious or it can be political grounds. So they can be really deeply ingrained beliefs.
Yeah, and the issue here really is not about vaccination. There's no point in talking science to them because their beliefs are not based on science. So they're based on religious or political ideology. So you really need to focus on their religious or political leaders and persuade them to bring along their followers.
Okay.
So that would be the more effective way. And the other thing that's been found to be effective is they will listen to their family doctor. When their family doctor sits down with them and says, for your health, you need to be vaccinated. That has been found to, in the States especially, that has been found to be much more effective. They will not listen to government messages.
Okay. We don't really know, do we, at the moment, how many or what percentage of here in Ireland are deniers, do we?
We don't, but okay. I think Ireland, it's probably relatively low.
Yeah.
Unlike in the US, where 30% of Republicans are vaccine deniers.
That's a huge number of people.
Yeah.
It really is. Hopefully not anything like those numbers here. The ones, though, that I feel a bit more for are the vaccine hesitant people. And I've heard them on the radio. And sometimes it's, you can just hear them saying, it seems to have been rushed. The vaccine was developed very quickly. How do we know it's safe? How do we know it's not like other drugs that happened in the past, where it was years before you saw some sort of danger to it?
Absolutely. And their fear is based on science. They are legitimate, absolutely legitimate concerns. In terms of speed, we did things very differently this time. So things happened much faster. But also remember, we get a new flu vaccine every year. Every year, they bring out a new flu vaccine. That's a one-year cycle for the flu vaccine.
Right. How do you, but it's okay if you'd say that to me and you'll convince me in 3 seconds. But these people are harder to reach. How do you get them?
And that's about focusing on the scientific studies. So the studies, and there's no such thing as safe versus not safe. Even aspirin has lots of risk.
Yeah.
And we buy it over the counter. It's benefit versus risk.
Okay.
And there's all of the studies that have been performed show an enormous benefit for taking the vaccine. I mean, it's a huge benefit. It's not like, you know, touch and go. It's enormous. Maybe there might be some risks, you know, thrombosis, whatever, but they are very, very small compared to the benefit. And that's what will convince them.
Right.
Plus the fact, the EMA and that is willing and has shown themselves willing to pull a vaccine and suspend it if they are suspicious of, adverse events happening.
But it's really reassurance that they need, and the data,
and the data is very clear on this. The vaccines work.
Okay, and then you have lethargy, and that seems to be more in younger people, as you say.
Yeah, they often feel invincible. You know, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get sick. I think they need to be made more aware of things like long COVID syndrome. Yes, they probably aren't going to die from COVID-19, but long COVID could affect them 6 months, a year, 2 years.
That sounds dreadful.
That is not a pleasant place to be. In UK, they're doing things like certain department stores and that are rolling out vaccine. They have vaccine centres there. You can actually go into some of these places and you can be vaccinated there and then on the spot. And that's much more likely to work with these younger people if they could just literally walk into a store and, look, I just have a vaccine while I'm here.
Right.
Rather than
have you can kind of incentivize them as well, can't you? If music festivals are something that they really want to go to are on and they're back and stuff, but you have to be vaccinated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they will certainly. And for travel purposes, most of them are going to say, look, I want to go abroad this summer. Yeah. And it's not really feasible unless you're vaccinated.
Strikes me as an easier cohort to get to.
Yeah.
Say you do all that and at the end of it, you still have a sizable percentage who are refusing to get the vaccine. What do you do then?
Yeah, I mean, some people have spoken about, coercion and we could make it compulsory vaccination. Like yellow fever is compulsory in Africa. Many African countries you can't go to unless you have a yellow fever vaccine. I don't think it's a good idea because you politicize the vaccine program. And we have to think about other vaccines. We have to think about the childhood vaccines and so forth. And we want to keep all of this on a voluntary basis. So compulsory vaccination should be only an absolute last thing if we had really high outbreak of the disease and we had a lot of people. So it is about people learning to trust and understand the vaccine program. So it's about education. It's about understanding how vaccines work and understanding about why they're important to do this.
There are two other things. One is the PUP payment.
Yeah. So people get this unemployment payment because the government says you can't work because of the risk of spreading the disease. So that's been imposed on you by the government, and it's reasonable that they compensate you for that. But once it's a vaccine, if you refuse to be vaccinated, then the reason for you not working is not because of COVID, it's because you won't be vaccinated. So should the taxpayer continue to keep you out of work and pay your PUP because you don't want to be vaccinated?
Right. I don't know how the people would react to that.
Yeah, I mean, if people are unemployed, they can still apply for unemployment benefits.
Yes.
But it's if they're unemployed because they will not be vaccinated.
Yeah.
Then should we pay them for COVID-19 payment? It's nothing to do with COVID-19 anymore.
Right. The other thing you can do, of course, is exclusion, where people are no longer able to go into a restaurant or a cinema or various different things or travel, which is also quite extreme too, isn't it?
It is quite extreme. But, you know, look at smoking. Smoking is legal, but we've come to say, you can't come into this restaurant and smoke. You can't come into this pub and smoke, and you can't smoke on your plane anymore. We have decided that the risk that poses to society is too high. Mm. And we're not going to stop you smoking, but we're not going to facilitate it. And we will stop you smoking in any way that will harm anybody else's health.
Because that is the big thing, isn't it? You can't be a danger to other people. That is the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah. And we have to think about people in society who have chronic illnesses, people who have immune disorders, who can't get vaccinated. And we're trying to protect them.
Right.
We're taking the vaccine to protect those people who can't be personally vaccinated.
Right. Obviously, people, the small cohort who will dig in their heels. I mean, how much of a risk is it? I suppose it's the thing that goes through your mind.
If it's a very small cohort, it's not. I mean, if we're looking at 85%+ vaccination, it's probably sufficient to develop what we call herd immunity so that the virus can't really spread from person to person. If we were only getting 60%, 70%, then you might have a worry about that cohort.
The other worry, I suppose, though, is also that we are such an open country. And even if we get as big a take up on vaccination as we would hope for, once you open your borders and your airports, that's, you know, the 30% Republican cohort in America or Boris Johnson opening the floodgates as he has across the water, they're all able to come to Ireland.
Yeah, and that's why we do have those restrictions. You know, with the European passport, you have to be PCR negative or vaccinated. So you don't get into Ireland. So non-Irish citizens can't come in here unless they have been vaccinated.
Right. That's going to be
PCR.
That's potentially, if they don't pick up their numbers in America, that's potentially going to be a huge number, isn't it?
Yeah, but they can't come here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without the vaccination, they can't come here.
And that could go on for at the moment.
That could, yes.
Absolutely. A very long time.
Yeah. But equally, that cohort of people in the States tend not to be the sort to have passports and tend not to be the sort to come to Europe on
this is very on true.
Travels.
Yes,
so
they will stay. They will stay where they are.
Yeah.
So for now, it's really addressing lethargy amongst young people and also the vaccine deniers. That needs to be a gentle enough argument, doesn't it? Because once you start gesticulating at people and losing the head.
Absolutely. And look, they have the right to refuse treatment for any illness that they want, you know, so we're not in a position to force them. That's their choice. We need to give them the information. They may have a price to pay in their health and their life, but that's their decision. I mean, it's not for us to impose anything on them.
And the journal.ie article has already got some negative reaction. If you've raised your heads above the parapet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You always get those who...
it's not too heated, I hope.
No.
You'll survive it.
Absolutely.
Dermot, thanks very much for joining us. That is Dermot Cox, Associate Professor in Pharmacy and Biomolecular Sciences at the Royal College of Surgeons.
Just around the corner from you.
Indeed. I know it well.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.